It's time for Your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
So the Avalanche lose game 1-7-6. Alexander Georgiev, nobody wants to see him between the pipes, but what about Eustace Annunen, who was not able to go as the backup last night because he was sick? All right, Jared Bednar, what's the move moving forward?
I don't know if he's going to be healthy enough to play or not. Wasn't healthy enough to play tonight. We'll see what we see in the morning, and then, you know, I'm not thinking about anything else. We got to have him available if he's going to play.
Yeah, so would you consider a goaltending change?
I'm not going to speculate.
That means yes.
It's as simple as this. If Annunen's ready to go,
then he's going to play.
He's going to play.
Yeah.
Because at some point, you just can't... You can't put that on the rest of the team with them already out there trying to beat the opponent on the road, trying to play their own game, and in the back of the mind constantly worried about what's going to happen with the goaltender behind him. You can't play that way.
Correct.
Even if it's not all Georgiev's fault, doesn't matter. At this point, he's in his own head, right. And unfortunately, the Avs players are thinking about Georgiev as well.
It's not all his fault. But if you're putting the blame game, a ton of it's his fault.
Oh yeah, no. Again, look, you score six goals on the road. You need to win, and you need your goaltender to make the two or three saves that allows you to win that game 5-4.
Correct.
But the Avs have given up 24 goals this year against Winnipeg in four games. Okay. That's bad goaltending, but it's also a lot of bad defensive plays and turnovers. And hey, Jared Bednar coming down the stretch this season was harping on the fact that we got to tighten up our game defensively. We've made too many mistakes. We've turned the puck over too many times. So let's not overlook that part of the equation as well. Next on the Morning Brew, everything good for the Nuggets as they grab game one on Saturday. Looking ahead to game two coming up tonight against the Lakers. As Jamal Murray and the rest of the crew just shook off what was a sort of lackluster first half. But, hey, Nugget basketball took over in the second.
We're not trying to do anything different. You know, we're not trying to, like, make stuff up. Everybody knows where they should be, and they know if they're where they should be, they'll get an open shot. So that's the beauty of this team, is just pure basketball. There's no fighting for who won, because the ball, there's no fighting like how it is on the park, you know what I'm saying, or other teams, really, where you don't know where the shot's going to come from. You don't know where the pass is going to come from. No, we kind of know where we want to go.
So am I oversimplifying things if I just say, based on everything I've seen with the Nuggets and Lakers the last couple of years, and again on Saturday, there is no way the Lakers can beat the Nuggets. The only way is if the Nuggets beat themselves.
Yes. Yeah, even with a lopsided officiating.
Right.
They still can't beat the Nuggets with lopsided officiating. The only way is if the Nuggets... like, if they don't rebound defensively, if they let second shot opportunities happen a bunch, if they
get back on defense, yeah. Allow transition hoops, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Just have a bad shooting night, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And let me boil it down even more. The Nuggets, the Lakers cannot beat the Nuggets. The only way the Nuggets lose is if their starting five has an off night. Because all that has to happen is the starting five play to the level that we expect of this starting five.
Right.
And it's game over. Series over.
Correct. And if you get the energy, and Watson was energy-wise, Watson was great. He knocked down a couple of shots. I think he came away with 8 points the other night. Like, they don't need a ton of production offensively. They don't need a ton of production. They just need defensive production from their backups. They were awesome.
Game two coming up tonight, sometime after 8. Next on the Morning Brew, at 9 a.m. this morning, the Broncos are unveiling new uniforms.
Really?
Yes.
9 a.m.
That's what we're being told.
So 9 a.m. Here.
Yeah, well, that's some breaking news for you. It's kind of funny. Andrew Mason took a dive back into the last time the uniforms, new uniforms were unveiled in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, we'll have to talk to Mike Kliss about this, because Mike Kliss at the time, writing for the Colorado Springs Gazette, wrote, quote, "The Broncos don't have new home uniforms. Owner Pat Bowlen had someone steal them from the Chicago Bears equipment room." Kliss went on to write, "After 29 years of Orange Crush, Bowlen wants the Broncos to become the monsters of the Midway. Personally, I don't think that this looks anything like the Chicago Bears," Bowlen said, to which Mike Kliss responds, "Either Bowlen is fibbing or he is one of those minds that gets 5 out of 2 plus 2.
Do you think they look like the Chicago Bears uniforms? The Chicago Bears uniform, their blue is almost black. Right?
Well, how did you feel when you guys got the new uniforms?
I didn't think they looked like the Bears uniforms, personally. I mean, I like the old unis, but whatever. I was like, whatever.
It's funny, Mace again found some, back when, you know, they printed the comments to the paper, you know, people would comment section. "This is horrible. This is disgusting. They look like they're playing in the Caveman League. What is this orange thing going up their arms? It looks like a neon suit of sorts."
I will say, I did not like the blue pants.
The blue pants and the blue tops?
The blue pants
did
and the blue tops.
You feel like a giant blueberry?
Yes, like Augustus Goop or whatever
like
his name.
A giant purple Teletubby?
But the other thing about the blue pants, really tight. Blue pants were restricting.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Next on the Morning Brew, your Colorado Rockies lose 2 out of 3 to the Seattle Mariners over the weekend. How about these stats?
Well, wait a minute. Didn't they lose 2 out of 2? Because one was postponed, right?
No, they had a doubleheader yesterday.
Oh, they did have the doubleheader yesterday? Yeah. Oh, so they won one yesterday?
They won the first one.
Oh, good for them.
So check these stats out. Colorado Rockies are the first Major League Baseball team to trail at any point in each of their first 22 games of a season since the Washington Senators pulled it off in the first 32 games in 1957.
So at some point they've trailed in every game.
Yes. And there are 22. Can they get to 32?
Sure.
It's kind of like Nathan MacKinnon's streak.
Right.
Right?
Same thing. How are they on Tuesday, though?
Yesterday in the doubleheader, the Rockies scored... Oh, no, over the course of the weekend, 3 games. Rockies scored 2 runs in 28 innings against the Mariners that have not won a series this season, on pace to win 37 games. 37.
What would that make them? 37. It'd be like one.
What's 162 minus 37?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
That's five. There's a five in there. You got to take away the 6. So 5 minus 3 is... That would be 125.
37 and 125.
125. That'd be a record.
Yikes. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30.